Hey, good morning, church family. How are you doing today? Good morning, church family. How are you doing today? I could hear them even online sharing back with me saying they're doing great. Hey, we want to welcome you to worship today. We're so glad to have those that are here in the worship center, and also for those who are worshiping with us online, we're glad to have you with us. We are completing a three-part series. The series is called The Church Together. And we understand that as a church together, it means we come together on the oneness of our commitment to Jesus Christ. And we worship together, we serve together, and we impact our community and the world. And so in this series, we have looked at that, first of all, it is a church meeting together. And that's what we're trying to come back together and get us all back together, meeting together, and how important that is to encourage one another and spur one another to good works. And then second of all, like last week, we looked at the church worshiping together and what it means for us as a whole to worship together. And so today I want us to close out the series to take a look at the church ministering together and what does that mean. So if you have your Bibles, you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And there are no pew Bibles for you to turn into. So either you brought a Bible, you got a phone, or you can look up here. We'll have every verse right up here on the screen. We've taken care of everything. All your needs are covered on this Sunday morning for you to be able to enjoy this time of worship. Now, we are going to be throwing a lot at you. So you got to be ready. You got to be geared up. I know it's the middle of the summer, but you be ready to go. And we're going to learn what God's telling us about the church ministering together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And he's writing them about spiritual gifts. And there has been some abuse and some misuse of it. But what he's wanting them to understand is there's the oneness of the Holy Spirit that is the source of all the gifts. And there's the oneness of the church body in whom those gifts are apportioned to individually. And so you'll pick up on this as we start going through this passage. So we're going to look, first of all, at verse 12. And in verse 12, I'm going to bookend, and I'm going to cover the first verse and the last verse of this section of Scripture. Verse 12 says this, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, they are one body, so it is with Christ." And then verse 27 says this, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." So what Paul is doing is he is using an analogy of the body, and he's giving some key concepts. And these are three words that you need to keep in mind through all of this. Are you ready? These three words: unity, diversity, and interdependence. I want you to repeat those right after me. Are you ready? Let's go. Unity, diversity, interdependence. This is the truth among all of us as believers. And he's going to build on these concepts. He says the body of Christ is kind of like the human body. And so in the human body, there are many different parts, but those parts do not just operate on their own. They are integrated and they are related to each other as an organic whole. All right. Just think about the body for just a moment. The human body has numerous systems, has a respiratory system, circulatory system, digestive system, the immune system, and each one of these work together. And when one of these is not properly functioning, it affects the other. And so when you get your respiratory system, you breathe in, it gets the oxygen. Your circulatory system takes that oxygen and it begins to deliver it to all the other muscles and stuff in the body. And so again, when everything's working well, then your body thrives. But however, when one system breaks down, it negatively affects the other systems. And it can result in both suffering and even a ceasing of existence. And so he says the body of Christ is like the human body. With it, there's unity, there's diversity, and there's interdependence. Now, talk about the unity, verse 13. In verse 13, he says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." He said, we were all baptized into one spirit, the Holy Spirit. Regardless of ethnicity, regardless of socioeconomic status, we are one in the body of Christ. However, all of us are diverse and we make up this body. Thus, there's unity in the midst of diversity. We are not all the same. Hey, you can just kind of look around and you can see we're all a little bit different. But yet in the midst of that diversity, he says there is a unity, and he's telling us there's a unity in the body of Christ, just like there's a unity in the human body. So next step, verse 14. In verse 14, it says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. That means that each one of us has a God-ordained, divinely determined presence in the body. Every member is essential. It's one of many. Every member is essential. The church body, similar to the human body, is a living organism. Every cell, every organ must function properly. Every part is essential to the whole. And only when the parts are properly arranged and functioning do they comprise a body. And when some part is lacking, then the body is not complete. And so as Paul is writing to them to let them know about the oneness of this, part of the reason he is writing is because there's a little bit of jealousy that's been developing. Some people are jealous of other people's gifts. And so look how he describes it. So verse 15 and 16. The foot, if the foot should say, hey, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Well, that wouldn't make any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, hey, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. So he's using an illustration of the foot looking to the hand, and it's kind of upset because he's not a hand. Now, if you look at a foot and a hand, if you compare them, the hand has got a lot more dexterity than a foot does. Okay? The foot, it's usually covered up by socks and shoes. You don't see feet very much. Hands, they're always out there, unless it's cold and you've got some gloves on there. Commercials. How many commercials have you seen where a woman wants soft feet? Not many. But soft hands? Oh, they're all over that, how to make your hands soft. And how about men? You know, when they take those hands and they're rugged hands, they show those outdoor hands, we got to get them clean, and they get that rough soap and everything to get those rugged hands clean. Yeah, hands. When you look at a man's foot in a commercial, one of two things. It is a nasty fungus or a nasty blister that's on that foot. And so every time the foot is shown on TV, it's just something nasty on there. And so the foot is complaining to the hand and saying, hey, I'm not the hand. I wish I was the hand. But how about the ear and the eye? Oh, man, think about that deal. The ear is saying, I sure wish I was an eye. I mean, the eye's got it so good. Sometimes you talk to couples, And you talk about when they first dated, and you say, so what was it that attracted you to him or to her? And oftentimes they'll say, it was her eyes, or it was his eyes. I've never heard a person say, hey, it was his ears. Oh, man. I was just looking for a man that had ears like that. They don't get that. They just don't get that. Okay, hey, when you go home, take out your driver's license. You take out your driver's license. If you look on your driver's license, there's going to be something, and it says what? Eyes. And then it has the color. You get to put the color of your eyes on there. There's nowhere for ears on a driver's license. They don't have ears, tiny, large, protruding. Looks like a taxi cab with the doors open. I mean, it doesn't have anything like that. And so the ear can feel really let down that it's not an eye. And so he is saying, listen, even though you're not an eye, that doesn't make you any less a part of the body. So look how he deals with this. Next verse, verse 17. So he comes up in verse 17 and says, if the whole body were an eye, you thought the eye was so good? What if the whole body was an eye? Where would be the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? He says, listen, a body needs all the parts to function well. And then he starts driving it home in verse 18. In verse 18, he says this, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. And if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Now look at this. God arranged the members in the body. And when God created us, he arranged the members in our physical body. But it also means that God arranges the members in the spiritual body, which is called the church. And so the sovereignty of God has you a place in the body of Christ. And if you are a member of Shades, it means he has a place for you right here. Every one of us has spiritual gifts, and it's essential that those gifts would be used. And, you know, for me as a pastor, whenever I have the opportunity to be in a Discover Shades or some type of membership setting, and someone says, hey, I want to join, and I listen to their story, I love to hear kind of their story, what are their interests, where did you come from on there, my mind automatically goes like right into God's presence. And it's like I'm asking God. I say, so Lord, you have brought them here. What is it that you want them to do here? This is not an accident that you have placed them here in this body. You have gifted them in this area. You've given them these life experiences. So how are you going to use them right here in our body? Can you see God has got a place for all of us to be used? And so the statement that sort of summarizes all of this is this. We find unity in our membership to the corporate body. And because of our interdependence, we find our strength in the diversity in that body. Now, I just kind of chew on this for a moment. We've got unity in our membership. You join, you become a part of Shades Mountain Baptist Church. We're all unified because we're one body. You're a part of Shades Mountain Baptist Church. But because of our interdependence, we find our strength in the diversity in that body. Because we have people from all different walks of life, people with different giftings. And because of those different giftings, we are interdependent on each other. There's not just one group of gift mix and say, this will make the church go. No way. You have to have them all together. And so we've got this unity, but we're interdependent because of the diversity. Body parts are interdependent, not independent. There is nothing in the New Testament that talks about Lone Ranger Christianity. There's nothing that says that we're just supposed to be out there on our own saying, I'm a believer in Christ, but set apart from the church. You have got a place in the body of Christ, and you have talents and you have gifts for the good of the body and for the good of others. So all of us have that. There's no way of escaping it. You cannot walk out of here today and say, well, he wasn't talking to me because I don't have any. No, everyone's got it. He said, we've all got gifts. So what happens next? Verse 21. In verse 21, he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. All gifts are to be honored. There are no five-star gifts and two-star gifts. It's not like recruiting rankings to say, ooh, that's a five-star player. And over here, go, well, that guy's a two-star player. They don't look at spiritual gifts, and we don't take a spiritual gift inventory and then look up at you and say, ugh, you're a two-star. There's nothing to that. He says, I can't say to the hand, I've got no need of you. We all need each other. All gifts are important. So then he goes a little bit deeper and provides this assessment and how he weighs it out. Look in verse 22. He says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You look at your hand and look at all out of all of your body. If you look at your thumb, it seems like it's one of the weaker members. But it is indispensable, isn't it? You know, how many things can you do when your thumb is hurt? Not very many. So he says there are some parts that may seem like they're weaker, but they are indispensable. Then he says, and there are parts of the body that we think are less honorable, and we bestow the greater honor. And the ones that seem to have the most honor would be the ones that visually you could see. And it would be my eyes, my mouth, my nose, my teeth, all these things would say. But he says, but listen, the ones that have the greater honor are the ones that you don't see. It's like your internal organs. Nobody comes up to you and say, hey, let me show you my liver. You know, nobody wants to see that. They said, but by golly, you want it to be doing what it's supposed to be doing. And then he comes and he says, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. And he says, there are parts in our body that we need to be modest with. And he says, and because we have that modesty, we honor them with that. So what Paul is saying, no matter where you fit in all of this grid, you are important. And so you cannot sit there and downplay your gifts. Look what he says in verses 24 and 25. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. All gifts are important. This word composed, God has so composed the body. That word is a word that means to mix together and to bring to unity, to mix together. So visually, just think in your mind. You take all the members of Shades, and what God is doing, he's putting them there together, and then he's mixing them together. All right? And he says, I'm mixing them, and I'm finding places for them to serve, and I got this gift mix here, and I got this gift mix here, and I got this opportunity over here. And God is mixing all of these together, which means he is mixing and blending the members of our church effectively into one body. Which means God has gifted you and God has placed you here for a purpose. I don't think I've ever talked to a person that said, hey, I'm going to join. And why are you going to join? Just doing it on a lark. Almost every person says, we've prayed about it and we think that this is where God wants us to be. And so if you believe that God has placed you here in this church, and if God has called you to be a part of this church, that means he's got a purpose for you. That means that there is a place for you to serve, because he is composing the body of Christ. And if he didn't have a place for you to serve, he'd have never called you to serve here or to join here. So we all have this place that we are to serve. And as we look for this place to serve, it is so that we can care for one another. So don't downplay your gifts. Don't ever come up to me and say, well, I can just. I don't want to hear that. Or I can only. No, don't say that. If you're going to come to me and talk to me about that, say, hey, let me tell you what I can do. I got this. I said, man, that's great. We can find a place for it. You don't need to downplay. God has created you. He's given you these gifts to use. It's right here in this church. That's why he brought you together here. Now, then he comes to verse 26 and he builds back this unity. And he says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, then all rejoice together. Listen, we are all a family on here. One member suffers. You take the human body. If you slam your hand in the door in your car and somebody slams your hand, is it just your hand that hurts or does your whole body hurt? What do you think? Whole body? Yeah, I've never had it something where, hey, just my hand hurt over here. Yikes, it went through my whole body and I am just writhing in pain. And it says when one person suffers, all suffer. But then when one is honored, then all rejoice together. When one is honored, everybody rejoices together. I was thinking that when I was running marathons, that there would come a time where you do like an 18-mile run. And those are still in my mind. I remember those. And so you would run, you do this 18-mile run, and you come home, you shower, and then Janice and I would go to a movie. And we go to a movie, you get the popcorn, you get the Coke, or you'd walk in the theater, you'd sit down. And I can still remember sitting there in that seat, taking that first sip of Coke after that 18-mile run. It was a hallelujah chorus that went off in my entire body as all my body rejoiced of saying, this is incredible. Hey, my whole body rejoiced. This is what we do as a body of believers. When people suffer, we suffer with them. And when it rejoices, we rejoice with them. And we use our gifts and our talents and we try to help this thing to kind of work together to best be able to care for one another. And then to close out the passage, we go back to the verse that I originally talked to, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. It was written in the Greek language and the you is emphatic. And it says you are the body of Christ. So folks, got a scoop for you. Those watching online and for those that are sitting right here in the pews, if you're a believer in Christ, you are a part of the body. You're a member of the body. And if you're a member of Shades, you are the body of Christ right here at Shades Mountain Baptist Church. You say, okay, if I'm a part of that, what am I supposed to do? Look what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. He lists a few spiritual gifts and then he says this, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. He says, identify your gift, learn about your gift, study about them, but most importantly, let us use them. So we need to be using them. This is what it means, the church ministering together. And so to do that, the church together is the church ministering together. What does that look like? Well, first, let me give you a definition of ministry. Ministry is using who I am and how I was created to help somebody else in the name of God. I just let that sit with you for a moment. What is ministry? Hey, we're wanting to do ministry. Well, you use who I am, right, and how I was created. Who I am a child of God. I've been redeemed. I've been washed in the blood. My sins have been forgiven. I'm a child of God, been adopted into his family. How I was created. He's given me different gifts, different abilities and talents. And I take all of that to help somebody else in the name of God. Not just helping somebody else, but in the name of God to carry out ministry. So what do you take from this? If you take everything here and you begin to start landing the plane, this is what we need to know. Number one is this. Every member is to be involved in ministry. Every member is to be involved in ministry. If you write this down, you need to circle the word every. Every member is to be involved in ministry. There are no, nobody gets a pass. There's nothing in Scripture that gives us a pass on there. I love the definition. Somebody tried to define football. They said, football, 80,000 people greatly in need of exercising, cheering on 22 men greatly in need of rest. That's a great definition. And that's also a definition of the church. And that is thousands of people greatly in need of spiritual exercise, cheering on staff and volunteers who are greatly in need of rest. Because you see, it is every member, not a select few, not one out of 10, that is called to ministry. And why is this? Number one is this. You were created for ministry. You're created for ministry. This is how God created you. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. All right, you read the next three words for him. What does it say? For good works. This is what we were created for good work, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're his workmanship. That word means his masterpiece. It's a piece of art. It's a masterpiece. He created you as his masterpiece. And when he created you for something, and that is for good works. God made you to make a difference. You were not created to sit on your blessed assurance and do nothing for the kingdom of God. You were created to make a contribution. And one of the main ways to do that is through the church, the body of Christ. And the Bible says you're created to serve, you're saved to serve, and you're gifted to serve. Second is this. Second says you are gifted for ministry. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says this. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. You're gifted. He says, listen, you've received a gift. What are you supposed to do? You use it to serve one another. Number three is this. You are needed for ministry. Ephesians 4:12. Again, he talks about some spiritual gifts. And he says, why do we have these? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. To equip the saints. For what? We're going to do a work of ministry. What is that? We're going to build up the body of Christ. We strengthen the body of Christ to make it more effective to reach an unbelieving world. And so when you look and you see this, we are created, we're gifted, we're needed. Each one of you have tasks performed from which the Holy Spirit specifically recruited you. And all of these tasks are for the building up of the body of Christ. Listen, folks, I'm telling you, God has equipped the church to accomplish his task, and you as a member have been equipped to serve, so you are necessary and you have value. Listen, as a church, we always have a need for volunteers, and even more so is going to happen as we begin to gather together more and more. And as we begin to gather together more and more, we'll be needing people to help in preschool. We'll need people to help in our children. We'll need people to help with our students. We'll need people to teach Sunday school classes. We'll need people to do discipleship groups. We'll need first impression teams, greeters, and all these other things that happen. All of that continues to build. And yet God has so set up our church, so he's provided everyone that we need. It's a matter of us having to step up. And it's going to be even more difficult now because there are some people who would love to volunteer, but because of their health situation and where we are with COVID-19, they are unable to. And so we need to do this. Let me close with this. Every member can know their ministry, okay? I don't want to leave you here just wondering, hey, how do I know my ministry? Every member can know their ministry. Now, we have a website that I would encourage you to go to. And as you go to this website, you go to the shays.org/volunteer, or there it is. And as soon as you type that in, you will have a screen that will come up that will have volunteer opportunities. And then right here, serving assessments. If you click on serving assessments, it will take you to an assessment. And it will take you to where you can assess your spiritual gifts, even your skills and your style. And this is the answer that you're going to get. Okay. Now I'm going to walk through real quick what you're going to get. Let me just share this with you. This is summer. This is COVID-19. Every one of us has got a little bit more time in our schedule than we've ever had before. Just take some time. Go online. Fill this thing out. Doesn't take long. Okay? Now, you take this. This is what it's going to show you. Number one, your passion and life experiences. Where best for you to serve. You'll go through the assessment. What's the thing that really turns your crank? What are the life experiences that you've had? And how can those be useful for where best for you to serve? Second is this, your spiritual gift and skills. It'll show you what your spiritual gifts are and also let you know what your skills are. What you will do. So this shows what you will do. Because I want to work within my gifting and within my skills. And last of all is this, and that's personality style. Personality style is how you will serve. Are you people-oriented or task-oriented? Are you structured or are you unstructured? How will you serve? You put this whole profile together, and all of a sudden, you've got a great idea as to how and where you can work here in this church. Okay? Now, I'm just going to tell you, when you complete these assessments, there is not a fine print on there that when you submit it, it says, thank you for committing to 156 Sundays over these next 3 years. No. What it does is just kind of put you in a database, and we may touch a base with you and say, hey, so glad. Can we answer any questions for you? Let me just give you an easy-to-understand way that this works. Will Sanford, he and his wife Alyssa, they joined our church in 2016. He filled out a spiritual gift inventory. We're looking for greeters and our first impression team. He has the spiritual gift of hospitality, so we put him a part of the greeter team. He was working on the greeter team. Tommy Duramus this year says, I need to get someone to be a leader over the greeters. So they go back through, look at all the different greeters, and then they began to look at their spiritual gift inventory, and guess what? Leadership was Will Sanford. So they contacted Will and said, hey, you're using one gift in hospitality. How about using that leadership gift and take leadership over the greeters? And guess what? He's taking leadership over them. And so he was able to handle that the first few months. And then all of a sudden, we didn't meet for about 15 weeks. He was constantly calling them, telling them to kind of keep your powder dry. We could be back on campus at any day now. And he is providing incredible leadership through that. And how did that happen? It was just somebody who took some time to fill out a service assessment. And now he's right in a sweet spot. And he's helping build up the body of Christ. Let me encourage you and challenge you. Every member's ministry, it is important, okay? Every member's ministry is important. You can find a place that will be fruitful and meaningful service for you. And then what it will do is it will then build up the body of Christ and will strengthen the body of Christ so that we can impact this kingdom, the church together. Part of the church together is the church ministering together. Let's all be ministers serving this body to be able to impact and advance his kingdom. Let me lead us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are really thankful that, Lord, that when you saved us, that you also equipped us to be able to be involved in your ministry. And so, Father, it is our prayer today that as we take in this message that has been shared, that you will speak to each one of our hearts. Give us even a greater conviction to serve you and to know that as this is not normal times, there are some not normal opportunities to serve. And so you haven't just put that on the back burner. We are continue to serve and to care for one another and to be able to advance your kingdom. So, Father, that is our prayer today, that you'll speak to our hearts, guide us and direct us for the next steps that we need to take. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.